Praise the Lord. It's good to be in church on a Sunday night. I don't know about you, but there's been some Sundays that are busier than others, maybe a little more stressful, but I enjoy being in the house of God, around the people of God, here in preaching. And tonight's sermon is not very good. You can go after my discipler, which was Brother Johnny Lester in the back. He taught me everything. And so if you have any complaints, you can see him. We're just going to read a verse and get out. That's how we did our disciples. So, it's good to be here. Good to see everybody here. You could choose not to come back because the preacher wasn't here, but glad you came. And we're glad to have people to preach to. I can preach to pews. I can preach online, I guess, via television. So I like to preach to people. That's always good. Let me ask a question. We had that young lady saved this morning, which was good. It's always good to see someone move forward in church and get saved. You can go weeks without seeing people saved, but it's a blessing when someone does walk the aisle. They get it, and they understand it. They know they have a need for salvation. They don't wait. Don't put it off. And they get it. Let me ask, how many of y'all been here, that are here, been saved for 5 years or more? 5 years? All right? Keep your hands up. How about 10 years or more? All right? 15? Okay, some more hands gone down. 20? All right? 25? Some of you kids aren't even 25, so I'm 30. All right. 35. 40. Oh, no, I'm saved. Being saved. Yeah, not in church. Yeah, keep your hand up. You didn't lose salvation. 45. 45 years. 50. Wow. 55. 60. Oh, we got still 1, 2, 3 hands up. 65. 70. Brother Mabe, how long has it been? 79 years being saved. Praise the Lord. And thankful for the, yeah, you can give a round of applause, I guess. But I'm thankful for the message this morning of how great salvation is. And you can be saved for 1 year or for 79 years and still get excited about what God did for you, that He died for a lost world, but that He would die for me. And I'm thankful for that. And tonight's sermon will be probably a simple sermon. I guess you can label probably the third simple sermon you've heard in a week and a half. But I think that even though if you've been saved for 1 year or even saved for 79 years, it's a good reminder. It's a good truth. It's a challenge to me. And hope it will. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 6, if you're already there, verse 14. Romans 6, verse 14, it says, "For sin shall have not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Verse 15. "What then? Shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid." I want to preach a simple sermon this evening on how to deal with sin. How to deal with sin. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity we had to be in church this evening. Lord, thank you to be able to meet together, Lord, as we have the freedoms in America to do so. Lord, to gather around your word. Taught, or to hear songs. Lord, we thank you for the ones that were saved this morning. We thank you that you saved us. For sometime, Lord, in our lives, we accepted that gift of salvation. We thank you for it. We ask you would be with us tonight, Lord, as we open your word and as we, Lord, hear preaching. Lord, I pray that you would convict hearts. Lord, you use me. Lord, get me out of the way. I pray, Lord, you help tonight. You meet with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Edwin Cooper was famous across America, yet he wasn't really famous for his name. He came up in a circus family or a family that grew up with clowns. And Cooper became very big performance, and he got his first act when he was 9 years old. And after this stint, he had a little bit with the Barnum and Bailey Circus. He became a fixture on television in the 1950s, as if you know, if you're older than me, in the 1950s, it was Bozo the Clown. And so Bozo the Clown, and in addition to that, he would go with both young and old. And always had a message at the end for his buddies and for his partners. And it was at the end of each week, it said, "Get checked for cancer." That was his message. And yet Cooper was so busy performing and trying to help people, make people laugh, he never even took his own advice. And at the age of 41, he realized he had a very aggressive stage of cancer, and he died. So the very thing that he warned other people about, to get checked weekly, he himself died of. Let me tell you, sin is far more deadly than the most aggressive and fast-growing cancer. Sin kills and destroys everything it touches. From the fall of Adam to present day, sin takes no prisoners. This is the purpose behind everything Satan does. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy." Because of his evil nature and his hatred of everything good, the devil brings destruction to everything within reach. Sin is far more deadly than the most aggressive cancer. It kills and destroys everything. When we regard sin as God does, we find nothing amusing or humorous about it. We will not make it the subject of jokes when we tell others or even when we hear it. We will not allow others to be tempted to get as close to it and still think they're safe. God hates sin with a holy and righteous fury, and so should we. If we find ourselves amused by sin, it's then that we should look to the cross for what Jesus did for us, the price that was paid for our sin. It reminds us that sin is no laughing matter. Talk about sin. Sin is referenced in the Bible 839 times in some form or way. The word sin is mentioned 448 times. Sinner is 21 times. Sins, plural, 172 times. Sinful, 8 times. Sinned, 119 times. Sinneth, 22 times. Sinners, plural, 48. And sinnest, 1 time. And let me just tell you, God does not like sin. Neither should we. But like we saw here in verse 15, it says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace?" God came to do away with the law. The law, though, was our schoolmaster's point us to Christ to realize that we need salvation. We aren't anything good in and of ourselves because of that one thing, sin. And he says in here, does that give us a license to sin? Those two simple words, God forbid. See, I believe some Christians take that as a license to sin. I can do what I want because I got saved. I'm not going to lose my salvation like we heard this morning, which is awesome. I can live whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. But let me tell you, sin is wrong and sin will destroy. Sin has wrecked lives. It has wrecked families. It has wrecked ministries, churches, and nations alike. Sin may look good. It may smell good. It may even taste good, but it's wrong. Sin never satisfies. Sin leaves scars. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, leave you longer than you want to stay, cost you far more than you're willing to pay. Sin has consequences. You may get to choose your sin, but you don't get to choose the consequence. Ask Adam and Eve if it was worth it for their sin. Ask Lot if it was worth it going to Sodom. Ask Noah if it was worth it getting drunk. Ask Moses, was it worth it to hit that rock instead of speaking to it like God said? Ask Achan, was it good? Was it all right for you to take that? Was it profitable? Ask David, what about that sin with Bathsheba and having her husband killed? Ask Saul, was it worth it when he disobeyed God and had the kingdom taken away? Maybe you ask Paul, who at one time was Saul, was it worth it, all the people you put in jail and persecuted from the church? I tell you, sin has consequences. Sin has a death penalty. Sin can send you to an early grave. Sin will keep you from the Bible. One leak within a ship can cause it to sink. One sin can destroy a sinner. And I know we're in a church service. I know someone said I've been saved for 5, 10, 20, 30 years. We don't get over the fact that we're still sinners. We get saved, but we don't get saved from being a sinner. And let me tell you, I hate sin. And I hate the one that produces the devil. He doesn't like me. He doesn't like you. Someone said earlier, we've been saved for this long, and praise the Lord, the devil doesn't have us anymore in his grip. But let me tell you, he may not have your grip to take you to hell with him, but he wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy my life. He can't take you to hell with him. The best thing he can do is destroy your life. He can paint sin. He wants to paint sin to make it all look nice and good. It'll help you. It'll be there. It'll be there when you're discouraged. It'll be there when you're hurting. But let me tell you, it always hurts. You may not see it. You may not ever tell anybody, but there's even people in this room that'll tell you how bad sin is and how it wrecked their life. How it may have ruined their lives for a short time. There's people that could give testimony to that. I don't want to have that testimony, but some do and some will because of sin. I don't want to have a wrecked family or a wrecked ministry or a wrecked nation because of sin, but the honest truth is, sin, if we're not careful, can ruin us. It will wreck us. I have a couple simple points this evening, and I think about sin. I think about when things I hate about sin. more than I hate about sin, I hate the fact that God hates sin. As much as I want to hate sin, even in my sinful ways, I don't hate it like I should. But God has a righteous, a fervent hate for sin. Why? It separates us from Him. Think about Jesus when He died on that cross. I believe worse than the nails in His hands, worse than the beard being plucked out, worse than being stuck in His side, worse than the crowns being on Him, worse than Him being mocked and being whipped, the fact that when He took the sins of us on the cross, that God the Father turned His back on His Son, because He took our sins and died so we could have eternal life. And yet there are some Christians that take it very, I'd say, flippantly about sin. They don't think it's a big deal. They reason it away. They say, well, this isn't right. God didn't mean this. This isn't what it means. You can do that. You can enjoy that. Don't listen to what the Bible says. Don't listen to what your parents say. Don't listen to what the pastor says. Don't listen to what God's Word says. Just live it up. Just enjoy it. If you're not careful, you fall into that. It's a shame that in the world we live in 2021, we have more Christians acting like lost people than acting like Christians. And my pastor said, a saved person can do anything a lost person can do. And that's true. But one thing a lost person doesn't have that a Christian does is the Holy Spirit. And it should grieve us. It should grieve the Holy Spirit when we sin. I think we live in a day where we see sin all around us, and we just jump right in. We just keep doing it. We say, oh, I can see it. I see it on my phone. I see it on the TV. I see it driving down the road. I see it at work. I hear it. And we think it's okay. I think it's not that big of a deal. God's not that mad. God really doesn't hate the sinner. He just hates the sin. And He'll forgive me. It's okay. I tell you, church, that's the wrong way to look at sin. We need to have a righteous hatred for sin. Not the sinner, but the sin. How about this? What's the sin of unthankfulness? The sin of rebellion? The sin of disobedience? The sin of gossip? The sin of hatred? The sin of lying? The sin of drugs? The sin of alcohol? The sin of the eyes? The sin of sowing discord among the brethren? The sin of having other gods other than God before you? Those are some easy, simple ones that maybe us, that we say we're professional Christians, we don't struggle with sin like that. We don't have problems. But some of those are some main ones. I know as a Christian in my life, I struggle with. I mean, I jump into what the world has as sin. There's some that are you mentioned here in the Bible that God hates, but the Holy Passion, He calls it abomination. And for us to look at that and say, oh, it's not that big of a deal. You're fooling yourself and you're on a fast track to wreck your life, wreck your family, possibly wreck your ministry and wreck your testimony. Teenagers, let me tell you, sin is nothing to mess with. It'll ruin your life. It may send you to an early grave. Parents, the devil would love nothing more than to wreck your life so your family, your kids won't grow up in a godly home like they should. The devil would love nothing more than to wreck a church, destroy it. Why? So it wouldn't have the cause to get the gospel out to see others saved. It'd lose its testimony. It'd lose its focus. It'd lose its light in a community. He wanted nothing more than a nation to fall. I believe our nation today can be tracked back to sin is why we are what we're in today. But let me tell you, sin is wrong. Sin is evil. I hate sin. And I wish, as maybe some of you would wish, that there was someone there to say, hey, don't do it. Don't commit that sin. I told my teenager, I wish I could be there when you have that sin that the devil tempts you with or that your lust goes after and say, hey, don't do that. It's going to hurt you. It's going to wreck your life. I would like that in my life, but here's the honest truth. We don't have that. However, we have the Holy Spirit. We have God's Word. We have preaching. We hear on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and we have Bible studies, and we're in Christian schools, and we have home devotions, and yet we still forsake the sin. We don't deal with it like we should. I'm going to give six easy, simple points now before you get all worried. These aren't long points. They're not going to be long at all. We actually still may be done before 6:55. You may get out and get a milkshake or get ice cream or something. But six things on how to deal with sin. Sin's wrong. Sin itself will ruin your life. But how do I deal with sin? What can I do? It's number one, realize your sin. Hebrews 12:1 says, and the sin which does so easily beset us. There may be some sins that beset you easily, that you go back to. I heard one person say it like this. They're the sins that when we're discouraged, when we're upset, when we're mad, when we're frustrated, when we're disappointed, we go to that. That's the sin we go back to. We go back to get the enjoyment and the kick and the excitement from it. I say sin only lasts for a season. It may look fun. It may seem fun. The devil will say it's okay. it's enjoyable, but after that, it's gone. But yet we keep going back to it and go back to it. Number one, you got to realize what the sin is and what it does. It separates us from God. It breaks our relationship. I think of a child and a parent. I have a child. I don't have another one on the way, so I get to experience it some. I think God did a great service in leaving an example of the parents and the children relationship, that when the child does not obey the parent or does something wrong that would upset the parent, there's brokenness over that. They don't get kicked out of the family because of that. But there is a hurt that's there. I remember times where I've seen my parents, my mom cry. Why? Because I did something that hurt them, that was dishonest to them, or they didn't like, or I did, and it was a bad testimony. And you know what? That broke them, and I've seen that. We don't see that with God. We can't look God face to face and see that he's upset or that he's upset about our sin or frustrated, but God is. Sometimes I think, oh, God's not worried. He's not even looking at me. He's looking at all these other people. I'm okay. But your sin and my sin put Jesus on the cross. We didn't realize that our sin is serious. Whether it be the smallest sin or the greatest sin, our sin as a whole put Jesus on the cross. He died for our sins. And for us to take it so flippant that I can keep doing it, I can do this sin, it'll be all right, no one will find out. Realize your sin. Number two, confess your sin. 1 John 1:9, we know it. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. God is there ready, willing, and able to forgive us for what we've done wrong. God wants to forgive us, but still doesn't give us a license to sin that we know God will forgive us. When was the last time we were broken over our sin? The Bible says, turn over to James chapter number 4. James chapter 4, verse number 8 says, draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Why? God didn't leave us. We left him because we decided to go towards the world. We decided to go with our flesh. We decided to sin. We decided to break the relationship. Then it goes on, it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. But think of that verse. Think of Psalm 51, a whole psalm dedicated to David over his brokenness of his sin. Let me ask, when was the last time we were broken over our sin towards God? Not just simple, God, I'm sorry I lied today. God, I'm sorry I wasn't the best. I'm sorry I had something else over you. I'm sorry I wasn't faithful. Forgive me. And yes, we should keep short accounts with God. When was the last time we were broken? When was the last time we cried about our sin? When was the last time we came to an altar and sorrowful for what we've done? That my sin has broke relationship with God. Honest truth is there's enough people, there's a lot of people that will keep going on. They'll serve in a church, they'll sing in the choir, they'll preach a sermon, they'll teach a Sunday school class, they'll even go soul winning, they'll invite people to church, and they still haven't got confession for their sin. Some people wait till it's communion time just to get confession of sin, because if I don't, I may die, the Bible says. But keep short accounts with God. Honestly, that sometimes we don't. We either want to go back to that sin, or we feel like, oh man, I really messed up. God can't forgive me. Let me give it a couple days, and then they'll talk to you. No, friend. Keep short accounts with God. But when's the last time we were broken? That my sin put Jesus on the cross. My sin broke my relationship with him. Maybe it's because we don't have a good relationship with God in the first place. It's a casual relationship, so we don't care. We don't care if I break relationship with God for a little while. If they're all right, I'll be able to go back. God always will forgive me. He does, but let me tell you, sin still has consequences. Whether you get forgiveness today or tomorrow, sin has consequences. You don't get to choose it. You can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequence. You don't realize your sin. Number two, confess your sin. Number three, forsake your sin. Romans 13, verse 14. You have to turn it. I'll just read it real quick. Romans 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You realize you have a sin that you keep going to. You realize there's sins in your life. Forsake it. Don't put yourself in the way to do that. If you struggle with something, don't put yourself in the path to commit that. I know it's very simple, but sometimes we don't understand that we get close enough to it, we get tempted by it, and our flesh doesn't want to get rid of it. Our flesh doesn't want to go away from it. We like to get real close to the line and say, I wish I could do that. Maybe I'll do it a little bit and get forgiveness and I'll be around it. I may not participate in it, but I'll at least be near it. I'll listen to it. I'll hear it. I may even talk about it some. But I won't do all of it. I won't do all that they're doing or all that's going on. But that sin that we keep going through, maybe it's a besetting sin. Maybe it's a sin you struggle with. Forsake it. Step away from it. Don't put yourself in the way to commit it. Number one, realize your sin. Confess your sin. Forsake it. Number four, feed yourself spiritually so you don't sin. No, we need to feed ourselves spiritually. The more Bible you read, the better you'll be. When we walk with God, realize what sin does for our relationship with Him. It should cause us to have a difference or see different our sin. Simple illustration, a silly one actually, but as for me, I don't go on a lot of diets, but I do try to do some to be healthy. And I try to go away from pop or soda. Not being in the South, the teenagers make fun of me because I say pop, and they say that's not the right way to say that. So I'm getting close to saying soda, so forgive me for my northern ways. I still call myself a Midwesterner, but people say I'm a northerner, okay? North is up there like New England and Connecticut, so that's the North people. They're just a little different, all right? We're starting to go over the Midwest, all right? But it's soda. Well, I've gone some times where I've just not drank soda. So you know what? It's not good for my health. Let me just put it down a little bit. Let me drink water. Let me drink some juice. Let me drink some Gatorade. Let me just kind of forsake that soda for a little bit. And I've gone for a couple weeks and maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks. And finally I said, you know what? Let me get a Coke real quick. Let me just, I'm going to try it. And I tasted it. You know what? It doesn't taste near as good. Now, it still has a little bit of the Coke taste, but it's just not as good. Watch, I've been drinking that water and that juice. I go back to drinking the water, and so I come back again. I say, you know what? I try the Coke again. I drink it. Like, it just doesn't have that same kick. There's a certain place you go, maybe it's McDonald's, and their Coke's different from someone else's Coke. You get a different drink, and I say, I like that. And eventually, I start drinking that soda again. It starts having that effect, and I start liking it again. For almost, I don't even like the water and the juice anymore. I just want soda. Every place I go, give me a Coke. Give me a large Coke. Give me an extra large Coke. Light ice. I just want that. Silly illustration, but that's how we are in our spiritual life. If we're to feed the Spirit with reading our Bible, praying, being in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, being in Sunday school, reading good books, being around Christian influences, when those sins pop up or temptations come awry, it won't look near as enticing. The problem is we don't feed our spirit like we should. We also feed our flesh with the things we watch, the things we listen to, places we go, the things we look at on our phone. And it starts to feed our flesh so we get over here and say, you know what? That looks really good. Let me try it. That spiritual stuff doesn't seem as enticing right now. That Bible reading doesn't feel that good this morning. That church attendance tonight, I'd rather stay home and enjoy this and do that. Why? Because I'm not feeding myself spiritually. You want to be able to defeat or deal with sin? Feed yourself spiritually with Bible, church, books, friends. Psalm 119, 133. Preacher has not got to this verse yet, so if you want to turn there, you can look at it. It says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. You want to know how sin doesn't have to have dominion over you? It doesn't have to rule over your life. It doesn't have to destroy your life. Fill your life with spiritual things. You know, sometimes it may be good just to turn the TV off. Sometimes it may be good just to turn the tablet off. Let me just say, parents, be careful what your kids watch on that tablet. Be careful what you do just to give them, say, hey, go watch whatever. They could watch whatever, and it could wreck their lives. It could ruin their lives. They could see images, see things, watch things that you don't know anything about. They'll cause them to have problems with sin. Maybe it's time to shut those off. Maybe it's time to just read a book, or I know it's kind of outdated, but read a book, read the Bible, spend time together. Why? It's better to feel spiritually than feel in the flesh. What we feed the most is what will be more desired. Number five, get godly counsel about sin. God says that a multitude of counselors, their safety. Maybe you struggle with sin. Maybe there's a sin that you are actually struggling with, and you say, listen, I tried to realize it. I'm trying to confess it. I'm trying to forsake it, but I just keep going to it. I just keep having it. It's got a hold on me. It's a struggle. What am I going to do? I try to even read my Bible. I try to pray. I try to be in church, but still has an effect on me. Let me say, get godly counsel. Go to pastors. Go to a spiritual leader that you have. Go to a Sunday school teacher. If you got a Christian home, a Christian parent, go to them. Ask for help. Why? You can be helped. You can be encouraged. Maybe get accountability. accountability partner. Why? So I can defeat this thing of sin. I don't want sin to rule my life. I don't want sin to wreck my life. I don't want sin to wreck your life. I don't want sin to wreck your family. I don't want sin to wreck this ministry. I don't want sin to wreck this nation. If we're not careful, we don't take proper steps, and we don't deal with sin, it will. It'll ruin you, and it'll ruin me. And the devil has nothing more better to do than to sit back and laugh when Christians get tripped up by sin. Get counsel. Say, Brother Dustin, I'm a young person. I don't want my parents to really know about that. You need to get help. Maybe it's the fact that you have something that you've been dealing with, and you go to camp and you get it taken care of, and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to forsake that, and in 2 weeks you're back to doing it. Then I go to maybe another conference or maybe a church service, and I say, I'm going to get rid of that, and I go back to it. You're going to need some counsel. Maybe something as simple as reading your Bible. We've been in that Sunday night service with Psalm 119 all of 2021. If there's probably still people here that struggle with their Bible reading, still struggle with their love for God's Word, why? Because we're sinners. Sin takes dominion over us because we don't deal with it. And you're not any less of a Christian. In fact, you're a good Christian if you get counsel when you need it. Don't look at someone and say, oh, well, they're a professional Christian. They've reached that. They've got to it. No. No one reaches professional Christian level. Get help. Find someone and say, hey, how am I going to overcome this? What do I need to do? What's the step I need to do? You need to go to your parents. Go to your pastor. Go to counselors. Why? Walk this counselors their safety. Number one, realize your sin. Confess your sin. Forsake your sin. Feed yourself spiritually. Get godly counsel. And lastly, it's very simple, but repeat the process. Say why? It's not just say, let me get forgiveness of this sin and I'm done. Let me go to the altar today and make a decision and I'm good. We don't get freed from sin when we're saved. One day, when we die or when the rapture happens, we'll be with God and there'll be no more sin. Praise the Lord. But until then, we're still in a sin-cursed earth. There's still sin all the way around us. If we don't get it under control, it'll ruin our lives. If we don't deal with sin, it'll wreck your family, wreck your ministry, and wreck your testimony. I don't want that. Say, why do I need to repeat that process? Do I need to go through all of them? Maybe not. Maybe it is you keep short accounts with God. Maybe it is that you recognize your sin. Maybe it is you need to go back to reading your Bible. Maybe as you go back to spiritual things and get counsel. I don't know what it might be in those processes. There might be other ones you have. But repeat the process. We never will reach a state where I don't sin no more. I'm perfect. That sin doesn't bother me. That sin isn't a struggle. Sin will always be a struggle. I heard a pastor, he talked to an older pastor who was in his 90s. So does it get any easier to get older? He said, no, sir. He said, still have trouble with sin. It may be a different form of it, in a different life, different stage of life. I still struggle with sin. Why? Sinners. Yeah, it's sin nature. And no one reaches that state of perfect. You may say, brother, listen, I've sinned. I must be a failure to God. No. You're a failure if you don't take care of that sin. You're a failure if you don't go to God and say, hey, God, I'm sorry. It broke the relationship. I need to do better. Repeat the process. No one gets there on their own. We all get saved. We're all in here as a church to help each other out. And no one reaches perfection. You say, I've seen some people, I say, they must be like super Christian. They don't even seem like they struggle with anything. Some people do become professional Christians where they think they hold themselves high and mighty. I don't struggle with anything. Nothing. I don't struggle. I just read my Bible and go to church and I'm fine. But in reality, there's something that tempts them. The devil still is after them. I tell you, the devil is after your preacher. That was after your church. We have a thing out here called a building program. The devil wanted nothing more than that to stop and to ruin this ministry. The devil is on a prowl. The devil wants to wreck and ruin your life and my life. We must deal with sin. We must deal with it properly. We shouldn't be passive about it. How about a church? Are we the types that we see sin and we call it sin? Or we're the ones that say, it's not that bad. Or my sin's not that bad. I can do this and enjoy it. I get pleasure out of it for a while, and it makes me glad. I say there is pleasure in sin for a season, for a little bit. But then comes harvest. You may reap something you weren't ready for. You may lose your life. You may wreck your family. I don't know. But we must deal with sin. How do we view sin and what we deal with it? I don't like sin. I hope thought that as a Christian we would have a holy, righteous anger about sin just like God does. But truthfully, even in a church service like this, even in a group like this, we don't always see it like that. It may be a simple truth, it may be a simple message, but let me just say, I hate sin for what it does. I hate what it does to families when you go buy a bus home or you go buy children and they don't have a mom or they don't have a dad. Why? Because of sin. You see, you go by and you see a church. We had one in our town back in Ohio. Church building started to grow up, started to be built. No church there. It stopped. Why? Sin wrecked that ministry. Sin wrecked that preacher. Buildings no more. People don't go to church anymore because of that. The testimony is about it. I've seen people. I've seen families. I've seen nations. We've seen nations rise and fall. Why? Because of sin. If you're not careful and I'm not careful, we take sin flippantly. We're not cautious about it. It'll wreck and ruin our lives as well. It's time that we deal with sin. But it's not time to deal with someone else's sin. Say, God, you know their struggle. God, you know what they do. Let's get our fingers stop pointing at someone else. Put to ourselves, say, God, this is what I do. God, this is my sin. This is my struggle. I need your help. I need your help from God's word. I need your help from the preaching. I need your help as I pray. But I need you. I need to deal with this sin that's in my life. Stop pointing at everybody else and say, them and them and this and this. Point to me and say, God, it's you and me. I need to get this right. I'm sorry for my sin. Thankfully, David wasn't like Saul, who was pride. He was full of pride. Said, oh, I'm good. David was broken over his sin. Yet there was consequences from his sin. But he was broken. And God was restoring me the joy of my salvation. Why? You didn't have the great relationship with God because of sin. You may not do something near as bad as David. Let's stop classifying sin as it's this bad or it's that bad or I'm not bad as this person. My sin and your sin put Jesus on the cross. It's time we deal with our sin. Lord, I thank you for the day. Lord, thanks for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I ask you, Lord, be with us, Lord, as a church. Lord, as individuals, that we deal with our sin. God, sin is dangerous. Lord, sin has wrecked many lives. Lord, there's many accounts in God's word and even personal testimonies of what it's done to people, to ministries, to nations. Lord, I don't want to see our church or people in this church wrecked and ruined by sin. Lord, I don't want my life to be ruined by sin. I pray that we would deal with it quickly before, Lord, becomes a problem. Lord, I pray that you help us, Lord, to view sin like you would. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You've got two simple questions. Number one, how do you view sin? Do you view it as God sees it? As wrong?